Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, this is the Racing Previews podcast. I'm doing a little bit more hosting today because Ben's in Bali and he's having some internet issues. Nick's in Sydney. So we've got a bit of a delay, so hopefully that doesn't ruin the podcast too much. But Nico, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Finally got to Sydney. A 90-minute fog delay this morning. So that was eventful. No planes in, no planes out of Sydney. 17 flights just circling above waiting to come down. So, we got here eventually. The weather's beautiful. It's quite hot. I'm sweating up a fraction. But apart from that, all's well.
Bit like Kai Ying Rising. Benny, how are you?
I'm very good, mate. Bit of K-San, Nico. Well, the last plane out of Sydney is almost gone.
Pretty much, yep. Yep. Something like that.
I'm good, boys. Yeah, sorry to all the punters out there. A bit of an internet delay here. The internet's not great and my audio might be a little bit scratchy. By the beach, just had my best friend's wedding yesterday. Best man at his wedding, and that was a real honour, of course. Probably only get to do that once in your life. So it's great. But Will has to step up to the plate and be our host for Caulfield Cup and Everest Day podcast.
Yeah, well, the delay doesn't even sound that bad right now. I don't know about you, Nico, but
don't jinx it.
You could probably take over from here, mate, if you really wanted. But it's Everest and Caulfield Cup weekend, so whichever way you want it to be, I guess. So we'll start at Caulfield. Do you want to get straight into the punting, or do you want to chat a bit more?
No, I'm happy to get straight into it. Look, if my internet's not too bad, I can probably host, but I think just the fact that your account
you
is the one...
right ahead, mate. I'm fucking awful
at this. Just the fact that your account is the one that's actually hosting it, I think we should be all right for internet. We'll see how we'll go, because this is take two, punters. But Caulfield rails out 3 metres. It's 18 degrees and a little bit cooler than Bali and Sydney down in Melbourne town. But how do you think the track has been playing for the 2 days of the Caulfield Cup Carnival so far?
Well, the track on last Saturday was heavily on pace around the circle and less so around the chute just because of the wind. But it looks like we're going to get a fast track again. It's a hot day in Melbourne today. So it looks like we're going to get you want to be on pace around Caulfield. The track's fast. So, but the racing looks good. It's a tricky meeting again. But, I'm looking forward to it. It's Caulfield Cup Day.
Yeah, it's still Caulfield Cup Day in Botter's eyes, but not in Nico's eyes. We will get to Sydney and what's doing with the weather once we get to the Sydney segment. No one's betting in the first three races at Caulfield, is that correct?
No, not me.
No.
All right. No. Just a journey, but you backed
it. Just touch on him quickly. It is Crawford Cup day.
Well, you want to just quickly run through him?
I guess so. May as well.
All right. Race one, 1400 meters, 3-year-old event. Bokash, $3.
I'm talking about the 3-year-old races, but I don't really have an opinion in the first race. It looks gross.
All right. We'll talk about the 2 3-year-old races then. Group three, Caulfield Classic, 2000 meters group. Sorry, I already mentioned that. Miwa, $4.20 favorite. Options, $4.40. Engine of War, $4.60. Arabian Prince, $5. Autumn Mystery, $6.50. Deal Done Fast, $14. Of course, this will be one of the main lead-ups to the Derby Botter. What do you think of it?
It's a tricky race, and the market reflects that. It's so 3-1 the field. Engine of War, I think, is the one that can position itself in a positive position, and that might be the making of it in this race. Obviously, these form lines are intertwined with each other, but Miwa, Options, Autumn Mystery, Arabian Prince, they're all wanting to get back in the field, and I think Engine of War has the capability of holding a four position in the race, and that might be what separates it from some of these. So in this instance, I think Engine of War should be favourite and is the one to beat in this race. I just don't think you'd want to be sort of off the pace in a race like this. You know, we've seen in years gone by in this race, I think what was the really good Waller horse? I'm forgetting it, the one the Derby. Riff Rocket. Yeah, he got beaten this race by Sunsets one day just because they went so slowly and he was off the pace and Sunsets got away with it with a turn of foot. So these sorts of races leading into the Derby can be slowly run, and I just off the pace chart, you'd expect this won't be quickly run at all. So whichever one can find a port for position, I think that'll be crucial in this race.
So you're telling me we might have to deal with Stuba, who owns one toenail of Engine of Stuba. Engine of War. We call it Engine of Stuba in our group chat. We might have to deal with his shit at, what's his?
Yeah.
Like 1:50 p.m. on Saturday or 12:50 p.m.
It's going to be a long day on Saturday. It's going to be a very, very long day.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next, which is the Ethereal Stakes. I don't think we've got any official bets here either. 2,000 metre group three yet again. Just a Journey, very short here, $2.50. The ratings look good, but will she run a strong 2,000 metres? Yum is there at $7. Spicy Lou, $7.50. After Summer, $9.50. A nice last start winner. Just Kick, $11. And Grand Omaha, $15. But Just a Journey got away with murder there and still got beaten. Went very slow in front. What do you think of her prospects stepping out to the 10 furlongs?
Well, I don't love it. I think she's probably a miler. I don't think she wants any further than it. She's got a clear ratings advantage over the dangers here, but it just depends on if she can hold that rating. If she can, she probably wins, and that's why she's $2.50 favorite. Couple horses at odds here. Just Kick is one we've backed for the Oaks and did a bit of running late on in the main lead up at Flemington. But I don't love that Dean Yendall has been booked. It's a bit stinky. I hope they book a better jockey in the Oaks. And another one, Arizona Luck got gapped. I think it was Ballarat last time, but its first up win at Hamilton was off the charts late. And I think it's probably looking for this trip. Also, Future Frankie ran some ridiculous late splits. It was at Cranbourne. The last 200 meters was outstanding. But it has a lot to find on ratings. But it's a race like that. Like you've got the clear and obvious favorite with a very obvious. You know, it has to stay 2,000 meters. You'd have thought, and might not get away with it. So one of these ones that it's a good race to find one at odds. I'd have thought. So I haven't done the race as much as I'd liked, but Arizona Luck and Just Kick are the sort of the ones that interest me. Also Classic Gem a little bit too.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where she's not under the odds based on ratings, but she is under the odds based on what you think she might be able to do stepping up to the 2,000 meters. And at $2.50, I'm just not willing to take that risk. So I'd be looking to take her on. I haven't found a bet in the race yet, but I might. Gothic Stakes, race four. You go on.
I was just going to say, if you think she'll stay, then you chips in.
Oh, 100%.
But if you've got a query on it, it's it's not as enticing.
Race four, 1,200 meter listed event. This is for our 3-year-olds, and Tentris is the $2.90 favorite. Beaten, but far from disgraced last start. Raging Force, the Sydney horse, comes here $3.90. Magor, big win last time. Did find the fast lane though at Flemington, $4. Ripley, $9.50. Aleppo Pine, $14. And Star Trip, $18. Will, a lot of yard watchers were of the opinion that Tentris would only improve after his first up performance. Where do you see him in this race?
Yeah, you can see it in the sectionals too. Like, he had a big 4-2 split and then sort of tapered out the last 200 metres. And he sort of hit the front there, I think, for briefly. I think Matt Hill caught him in front, even though he wasn't necessarily. But also, McGall was in the fast lane down the outside and was in the perfect spot. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm going to back Tentris to turn the tables on him, I think. I think that $2.90 is the best price now. It was $3.20 before. Anyway, I think that's probably still backable. Raging Force was disappointing last time, and the market sort of knew about it too. I think he's one that you can sort of take on, and obviously I think Tentris will turn the tables on Magor, and the rest of them are just really not much good. I think, like, this Ripley's coming off a good win at Rose Hill, but, like, it has a lot to find on ratings, and Baduri had a big SP at Moonee Valley, and sort of was a deteriorating pace, and it just sort of fell into its lap. And Aleppo Pine, I don't think, is much good. It probably had its birthday and goes 1,000 to 1,200 metres. She's Alibi, whatever it's called.
She's a little bit interesting.
Yeah, a little bit interesting. At 26, I was wondering if you could have something tiny on it. Did some good things up in Queensland, ran second Autumn Boy, obviously. It's by Saxon Warrior, so you'd expect it wants further than 1,200 metres, but this is a nice kickoff point for it.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think Moods did say that she still might have some improvement to come, so that's worth noting. I think Tentris is quite a simple bet here, boys. He draws barrier six. That's perfect down the straight. McGaw's in one. I can see him turning the tables on him. And then you've got a horse like Raging Force, who has been up a very long time and is possibly even a small query at 1,200 metres. I think Raging Force is probably better 1,100 metres. And Tentris, if he improves off last time, which we think he will, then, yeah, he's definitely the one for me. And anything around the $3 mark is a bet. Nico, will you chime in here or no bet?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Tentris is one of the better bets on the day for mine at Caulfield. It was super first up. Takes the necessary improvement to here. I think he'll win this race. He's an exciting prospect moving forward. And, Zaz looks like he's in that sort of mood now. It's deep into the carnival and it's money time. So, yeah, more than happy to be with him.
Big boy Mark Zora. Race 5, the Alinghi, 1,100-metre listed event. I don't think we've got any official bets here, but Acacia, $4.60, and favourite, looking to break a string of seconds. Osmar, $8. Jasmine Rouge, $9. Tiger Shark, $9. And Hyde Dubai, $9.50. From New York Luster, $10. And Stretton Angel, $11. Better mention Stocke as well. It's 1-2 in a row at $11. But any angles here at all? Are we happy to move on pretty swiftly?
Well, it's a tricky race because I want to get the favorite beaten because I think the three-year-old form is awful and the ratings don't stack up at all. I can't see it as favorite, but I mean, it's just hard to, I don't know, where do you look really? Soft Love's interesting. Was really good at Caulfield. I think probably this Track and Trip really. I'd want to be on pacer here, but I just, Osmar was awful last time. Osmar's so enigmatic. I think you could just knot up a rating that beats these, but at the same time, I don't really want to back it. So it's a tricky race, but if anything, just try and take the favourite on, I think.
Yep, sweet. I didn't have anything to chime in there either. Race 6, Caulfield Sprint. They've just renamed a lot of these races and put the sponsor in front of them, unless that's just my one of my apps just shortening the race names, but they've changed the Caulfield Classic to the Sportsbet Classic and the Caulfield Sprint to the Herald Sun Sprint. So there you go. I prefer the original names. Zealously has been tipped by a few pros and is $3.20 into $2.50. Gets down in the weights, 53 kilos. Was a good winner last time. Arabian Summer comes here on the backup 7 days, $4.80. Ray Magnerio, $7.50. He loves Caulfield. Nadal, $8.50. Will he finally run? If it's a good three, you probably won't. Sharipa, $8.50. Pisanello, $8.50. And then you're out to big prices from Rich Doddy, $21 and longer the rest. But can you chime into this price for this favourite?
No, I think it's too short. No, it's an on pacer. It, you know, gets its perfect setup, 1,000 meters fast track at Caulfield. But I think at $2.50, it has to be short. It has to get out from that price. Probably has to start $3. I thought Arabian Summer was really, really good last time. Nice SP there against good horses on the quick backup. It's held up half the straight once it got out. Ran, you know, electric sectionals really. I just think you want to be on it. I think it might have improved. This preparation was really good first up in the Moya. Didn't have a clear run of them there either. Gets every chance to run its rating here. And I think $4.80, I think should be more like $4.20. So it's the one I want to be on in the, what's called the Herald Sun Sprint, Caulfield Sprint.
Caulfield Sprint, yeah. I think Zealously is one of these other ones where the last start rating adjusted to 53 kilos looks real nice, real comfortable, and you know, you can see why they've marked it so short. But then you think, like, it is Zealously. It's $2.50 against horses who have genuine group class form. So I think it's a little bit too short. I could concur, but I thought Arabian Summer was awesome first up in the Moya last week. Yeah, probably things didn't really go to plan, but if you're getting nearly $5 Arabian Summer, I could probably chime in as well. And I believe she's had some feet issues in the past, and that seems to all be gone this preparation. So I remember she won with bar plates on. It was either bar plates or Equicar something last preparation, and that all seems to have dried up. So, yeah, I could definitely chime in.
Yeah, it seems a good bet to me.
Yeah. All right, the first of two Group 1s at Caulfield on Saturday is the 1,000 Guineas back on its Saturday position. I think it's been on Coonjie Day on the Wednesday, and then they changed it to later on in the season, but it's back to the Saturday. Apocalyptic is our $2.05 favourite, coming down after a dominant flight stakes victory. Has won three in a row, the Sydney horse. Ole Dancer, $5.50, came home in really nice sectionals last time. Got Get a Good Feeling, $11. Karinska, $12. Ferrivia, $16. And Mating Call, $18. I'm on Apocalyptic. I think she's deservingly quite short. Her ratings stack up really well. Look, I don't think the strength of the fillies this year is anything flash, but she's going to be getting the perfect run up on speed from Barrier 4. I love the jockey booking of Mark Zara. And I think the only real danger here is if she doesn't get around Caulfield or if she's potentially over the top. But I think Black Odds is fair enough to find out. I would probably mark her slightly in the red. I've had a small saver on Ole Dancer just to win a little bit. I thought she was brilliant last time. Just got way too far back. Blake Shin on in the saddle at Sandown. Gave Fruvia way too much rope. She should see out a very strong 1,600 metres. And I've also had a small bet on Mating Call at $26. But Apocalyptic, I was able to secure some $2.50, and she's one of my better results of the day. Will, are you betting here?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's, I understand the price. You know, she's coming through the flight stakes. She won the T-Rose really well. Last start was so slowly run. She's going to put herself in the perfect spot, really. And, you know, she just profiles like a good 1,000 guineas, you know, I guess. But, I mean, it's all about price, and even money just looks way too short. I think, like, from a ratings perspective, it's she doesn't have the edge that a typical even money shot does. Like, Get a Good Feeling is $11 and is, you know, right there with her from a ratings perspective anyway. And that might be just because, you know, we've only seen her four times, and she was really slowly run race last time, and she ripped home last 400 meters, and that's all well and good. But you can't, like, just even money. I think there's a lot of you know, we don't quite know yet. And I think, I mean, Get a Good Feeling was held up half the straight last time at Flemington, got out to a mile for the first time and just, like, monstered them late over the last 200 meters, just ran away from them. She showed tactical versatility. She was able to hold a spot early, and then, you know, it all sort of felt once they slowed it between the eight and the six or whatever. She just the surf sort of came back into her face, and she wasn't able to get a clear run at them. And yeah, she just looks over the odds to me. Shadow Wears is another one that'll improve over a mile. I think 20s is big, and Yeah, that's about it. So I'll be back. I'll be backing two of those two horses to beat the favourite. I mean, I'm not knocking the favourite at all. It's just the price, and it's short for me.
Yep. Nico, your team believe your eyes with this favourite, even despite the ratings not being a dominant as we would like for a horse is short, but she's been beating the good Sydney fillies and making it look easy. Thoughts?
Oh, 100%. I reckon she's a sit and steer, stand and cheer job, to be honest with you. I think she's the best of the three-year-old fillies, Melbourne or Sydney. She gets the perfect gate with that man on board in a Group 1 race. I think she could probably regress off her Sydney form a little bit and still beat this lot. I've got no worries at all with her. I think $2 is more than fair. If you get better than that, it's even more of a gift. I think, I could mark her like $1.60 in this field, I reckon. I think she'll win, and she'll win comfortably.
All right, beautiful. Moving to the Moonga, race 8, 1,400 metres, Group 3, Private Eye comes back to Melbourne. He's gone Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, Melbourne again. So busy campaign for the old timer, but he's used to this. $2.60 and favourite from Star Patrol, $6. Payline, $7.50. Here to Shock, $8. Media World, $9. And Warnie, $14. I've backed a few horses in this race. The first thing we'll start with is the map. There is a little bit of speed around. Here to Shock wants to kick up from barrier 1. Media World is on speed from 6. And then you've got Private Eye, who has been beginning really well, and he's actually been leading some of his races this preparation, including the one he won at Caulfield. First up, Star Patrol is another speed horse. 1,400 metres, potentially some query, maybe. He has been at the distance once and ran second, but it was a long time ago. I think Here to Shock is a little bit underestimated here. I thought he's just been building up in terms of his fitness. He's going to get the perfect run on speed. I think he'll find the lead and the rail from barrier 1. If not, he'll be in the box seat. He's got to carry the penalty. He's got to carry 60 kilos here, given he won that Group 1 in Tarapa earlier on in the season. But I just think he gets his opportunity here, and he might be able to really bridge that margin on Private Eye from the last time they met in the PB Lawrence. So, rating last time in the Rupert Clark, you know, he carried second top weight or even top weight. It was the number 2 saddle cloth there. And I think the setup for him here is perfect. Dry track, 1,400 metres, Caulfield. The other horse I've backed is Private Eye. I was able to secure $3, but unfortunately, on the account I took that $3 on, I've obviously been marked, and it was $3 straight into $2.60. So that was a little bit annoying. If that bookmaker is listening, stuff you. I think you'll come across here, sit outside lead, and he's just got a really, really good ratings profile for this, and I would probably mark him around the price he's currently at. Will?
I don't really have much of an opinion in this race at all. It's tricky. I'd probably need to do some more. Royal Insignia is one that I've been adamant they need to get to 14. I mean, I've been adamant that's a good horse, but hasn't quite really done.
Let
done
it go, mate. You got to let it go.
So, I know. I probably should, but if he comes out and wins here, I'll be livid. But tricky race. I mean, I think the price between Here to Shock and Private Eye is probably a bit much, but not really one I'm interested in playing in at this point.
Yeah. Nico, are you shouldering arms here or are you having a bet?
Yeah, nothing for me here.
All right, too easy. Let's move on to the feature then. Caulfield Cup, race 9, group 1, 2,400 metres, handicap conditions. And handicap conditions are the reason Half Yours comes here as the $3 favourite. Gets in with 52.5 kilos, and his form in those weight for age and set weights and penalties races has been second to none, really. We know he exploded first time 2,400 metres on the sunny coast, and he'll be looking to do the same here. Maidan, $8.50. Few of us are on at 50-1. So thank you, Bot, and thank you whoever else is putting out that tip. Royal Supremacy is $8.50. Vauban, $12. Middle Earth, $15. Deacon, $19. And the Birdman, also $19. Will, where do you have this favourite mapped?
Well, that's the tricky part. He was able to show speed in the naturalism and hold some sort of spot. But, you know, he got the gap at the right time. she'd won a break well, Jamie Mallum, just to hold a spot. You don't want to be sort of fall back the rail, and I think she'll be able to hold a reasonable spot early, and she'll obviously need, he'll obviously need some degree of luck at some point in run, but I think he's obviously, if you don't have half yours favourite, I mean you're wrong. I think he has to be the favourite.
Are you telling me Alan Rowland's prices on Twitter are false? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a game of opinions, mate.
Are you telling me he's not a $15 chance?
That could be one of the worst markets I've ever seen. Flat out.
Full credit to him. Anyway, it must be Rage Bait. It has to be.
It has to be.
No. May Dan is obviously interesting. He's the second favourite at this point. We're on at a good price, and that's all well and good. But I think that $8.50 is probably almost backable. I think, you know, his chances completely depend on his last start effort, where he was beaten by Giavellotto and Calpana. Giavellotto won a Hong Kong Vase and ended up running fourth in the Arc de Triomphe, which is the strongest race in the world. And Calpana was favourite for the Arc at one point. She ran seventh there. So, you know, it's a strong form line. It was on the old weather, so you know some Australian punters might look at that and go, it was on the synthetic, what are we doing here? But no, that's do you know world class form.
Do you know what sort of tempo they went there, Bot? Because obviously sometimes slower speeds can mean margins.
Well, there were good margins. There was like five lengths back to fourth. So
yeah, that's true. There was more.
You know, the ones that were there were
2.5. He only got beat 2.2, and then fourth was another 14 lengths, or another 10, 12 lengths behind him.
Yeah, so I think the ones that were meant to be there were there. He's been improving. He's a Frankel out of a, I think the mum won a Pretty Polly. So he's improving. He's got the right profile. He's only won two races from 13 starts. So the form card doesn't read well, but on that last start rating, he's completely in it. He's drawn well. He's a good second favourite. And then the one I want to be on early anyway is Adelaide River, who I thought was like, you know, 2 years ago, I think it was 2023, he was second in the Irish Derby and second in the Grand Prix de Paris. Like those are two world-class form lines. If he came off the plane, he'd almost be, you know, he'd be second favourite in this race. Obviously, he's taken a while to warm up in Australia, but that rating two back is good. And then I think they just went too slow for him in the Turnbull and he got beaten for a turn of speed. And, you know, jockey didn't really ride him out the last sort of 200 metres. They just sort of soft on the line. So he's one that can, I think, really benefit from a mile and a half. And he hasn't been to a mile and a half. I think this is exactly what he's looking for. So he's certainly of interest. Deakin's another one. And even though Vauban, you know, punters don't like him, but he's interesting to me as well. You know, he's loomed up into the Melbourne Cups, both Melbourne Cups he's been in, and looked as if he was going to be right in the finish and then just sort of petered out in his run out of condition. He probably just doesn't stay 2 miles on the flat. Mile and a half is probably exactly what he needs. That he's running the Tankerett sort of said that. Like he was well-supported second favourite behind, what's it called, Dubai Honour.
They almost started equal
and then
favorites.
That run, yeah. And then he was sort of in the Metropolitan. Yeah. He was sort of, racing restricted room the entire straight and finished off in the second fastest last 200 of the meeting. So he gets Blake Shin, and I'm quite interested in him. And also Land Legend was sneaky good in the Turnbull, so I'll have something on him too. So, I mean, I've got half yours $3. So if he drifts out on the day, at this point, I'm only backing Adelaide River, but I'll just see what the market.
And you've already got Maidan as well for a result.
Yeah, and Maidan too.
So those are two results, yeah.
But I think the whole in the market's probably Royal Supremacy. I thought he had his day in the Metro.
Agree. How good's this? Bot's actually chirping. It's been first time in weeks, Nico. He's been a bit of a mute on this podcast.
The racing's been tricky.
And as soon as we put him in the host seat, he starts to talk. It's incredible.
He's taken to it like a duck to water. He's excelling. Yeah. It's good.
Fantastic.
It's good behaviour.
Caulfield Cup Day. That's what Bot says. Half yours. I think if he gets half a bit of luck, then he might blow them away. But that's easier said than done. Barrier 2, Jamie Mallum. Look, we know she's She's not the fondest of taking a tight gap, and that's fine. And we know sometimes she doesn't really want to bustle her way out in a strong finish. But what she does do is get them to travel really nicely on the bit. So this horse is probably going to be...
When she's at her best.
Yeah. This horse is probably going to be back buried on the rails, let's be honest. He's probably going to be midfield or worse from barrier two. So he's just going to need a little bit of luck. If he gets it, I think he wins. We're on a good price for him. Maidan Bots outlined all the reasons he can win. I think Vauban, definitely a 2,400-metre horse. Wouldn't shock me if he won. He's got to carry 58.5 and give our favourite six the weights. I think Middle Earth is ready to do something as well. Fourth up, getting to 2,400 metres. It's had a bit of a weird preparation. First up 2,000, then back to 18, then back up to 2,000 in a really strong Turnbull. And Deacon is the other one who I think can be a rapid improver. So there's a few chances, but I'm really hoping for Half Yours or Maidan, and they're currently 1-2 in the market. So I'm not telling you too much that it isn't. Nico?
Maidan for me. I think Half Yours deserves to be favourite, but I've got a query on where it's going to end up in the run. I've got a query on how well Jamie's going. And I think he's got to get to sort of $354, I think. I'm not on him at this point in time. I will probably get on him at some point, but I think he'll drift a little bit. So he'll be a result for me at some point. But, yeah, there's a bit of bias involved. I'm on Maidan at a much bigger price than he currently is. But I think he's the horse to beat. He brings in the world-class form. That's a good race that he came out of last time. It's a race that... Prince of Aran. He used to use it before coming out. It's a proper group race. It's not just a shitty race on the synthetic. The Ark's arguably the best race in the world, so a lot of people believe. So that form's well and truly stood up. I think he's a horse that's got a lot of upside, and they've been pretty vocal in saying that they reckon he's got similar, if not better, ability than West Wind Blows. But we saw what he did here, and they know what it takes to bring a horse to Australia. They had without a fight before he went to the Freedmen's. They used to travel horses for Godolphin back before they were training together, father and son. And I think he's the horse to beat. Andrea Adzini is a world-class jockey. He's proven that he can pull off the fly-in, fly-out mission. Obviously, rode Circle of Fire in the Sydney Cup. So hopefully he's not three wide the trip like he was on Circle of Fire. But, I'm more than happy to be with him on top. Royal Supremacy was good last start. Obviously, that was the horse I thought was probably over the odds in the Metro. But behind that, I think you can make fair claims that a few of them behind, they're not exactly trustworthy. So, Maidan for me with Half Yours being on side at some point once he gets out a little bit in the market.
The other one that is probably worth a mention is Revelare, but he went to water in a really fast run race last time. It's probably not going to be anywhere near that fast this time, but it is worth noting he was $5 favourite. And he didn't really stay out a really strong 2,500 metres. So that's going to be interesting for his Melbourne Cup claims. That race at Kempton, it's so funny that one of the main lead-ups to the Arc every year is run on a synthetic track. I know Enable used to use that.
Enable won
it
a couple of times.
Yeah, correct. The Tristark, 1,400 metre group two, Abounding, $3.30. Miraval Rose, $4. Splashback, big last start winner at the Valley, $4.60. And Tuileries, $6. Those are your only chances. Any bet spot, just quickly?
No, not in this race.
All right, Nico, move on.
Oh, but Bossy Nick looks a little bit big. Bossy Nick a little bit big, but other than that, not really.
Bossy Nick in New Silks? Is that right?
Yeah, New Silks, yeah. I sort of want to be on Abounding, but I just think the price is a little bit short.
Yeah.
Get to the real racing now.
No Bossy Nick for Bossy Nick. New ownership, that's not you, is it?
No, it's. I was never on the day that it won at Flemington at a million to one, so I've never been on it.
Fair enough. All right, Nico, tell us what this weather's doing up there in Sydney Town, Harbour Town. Is it bright and sunny at the moment?
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. Probably not hot, as hot as Bali or as hot as me, but it's hot.
So it's humid as well, I'm guessing.
Well, I would say, yeah, it is a bit humid. It's a bit of a different heat to what we've been used to in Melbourne. It's a nice sort of fierce heat. So I suspect, the possibility of the thunderstorm tomorrow. So hopefully there's next to not much in that. But Saturday is going to be a bit cooler. It's not going to be very hot. It's going to be perfect races weather on Saturday for us in suits. But, they sort of said all week that they were going to sort of irrigate the track earlier, then sort of leave it the closer they get to race day. So it's a soft five at the moment. I dare say it'd be at least a four now, if not on the better side of. So, Tibbin, there's going to have to be a bit more irrigation put on, because it's about the same again tomorrow.
Well, it depends how much rain they get with this storm.
Wow. Yeah, but I think it'd be back on the better side of a four by the end of today.
Yep.
So they're going to have a decision to make whether they put, three or four mil on it to get it back to, maybe the worst side of a four, then wait to see what happens with the thunderstorm. I'm not too sure, but it's fairly hot today and it's going to be fairly hot tomorrow before this alleged storm rolls in. So
I think I'll
have a decision to make. But
I think the best case scenario is we get 6-7 mils of rain tomorrow with this little storm that they've got, and there's no irrigation. Just natural rain, it should be even across the track, hopefully. And I think that will provide the perfect racing surface. Obviously, there looks like next to no rain on Saturday itself. It'll just be Friday night into the evening. But I think a cooler day, 23 degrees on Saturday, will actually be perfect for Kaying Rising. Like, you don't want 35 degrees and him sweating up pre-race like he did a little bit in the trial. So.
I don't want 35 degrees and me in a suit.
Well, I don't want that either. All right.
It's not comfortable at the races when it's like that.
No, it's not. It's not, especially when you've got to wear a tie as well. All right. Rails out 3 metres. We're saying track should be perfect. I'm saying fence off potentially, and as the day goes on, they'll just be rolling off it even more.
I watched that the track report earlier when they had the overview, and it looked like there was a bit of marking in sort of lane 1 to 1.5.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do sort of edge off, but it looked fairly even outside of that. But yeah, there was a bit of marking sort of in that sort of lane 1, 1.5. So yeah, all in all, should be sort of offense hopefully, and should be a fairly good track, I would have thought.
Yep. All right, race
two. Have they had the helicopters out yet or not?
That's only in the autumn.
Only when I arrived.
That's only in the autumn. Race two is the St. Ledger, 2,600 metres, Group 3. This race is fond of throwing up a really good import, and that might be Sam Hawkins this year. $2.70 in favourite from More Fallons, $4. Sol of Spain, $4.60. Travolta, $7. And you're way out to Etna Rosso, $18, and longer the rest. So it's Willie Haggis up against some of the Waller. I don't want to say numbers because they've got a bit of talent, but do you have anything on this favourite? Because I know you do have some international ratings handy.
Oh, no, I don't.
You don't for this race?
Not this race, sorry.
That's right. Nico, is this who you want to chime into though?
Yeah, well, I think there's sort of only sort of two chances in this race. I want to be with Sam Hawkins as the on-top selection. I think he brings in solid form. He's a sort of a progressive stayer that will be sort of better probably next prep in Australia. I've sort of got a bit of a blind rule that I sort of back Haggis blind off the plane in Australia, and it's been something that's been profitable for me. You get the booking of J-Mac from a good gate, looks very well placed. And I think the danger is Sol of Spain. That's the best of the local hopes. He was good in the Metrop with no weight on his back, albeit, but gets Frosty Lane from a good barrier, and he just looks a nice sort of stay. I think sort of this time next year, he might be sort of that good local chance that's going to a Caulfield Cup, sort of Melbourne Cup. Waller sort of outlined that, he's a year away from the majors, and I think this is obviously a good race, and it's a race that Waller likes to target. Obviously, we backed Land Legend in this race a couple of years ago. I think he was first up off the plane or thereabouts, and he's turned into be, what a lot of people think is one of Australia's sort of better hopes to beat the more fancy, the Lex come the Melbourne Cup. So, yeah, I think Solar Spain is definitely the best of the local hopes, but I'm more than happy to be with Sam Hawkins on top and save Solar Spain.
Beautiful. Who was the proven thoroughbreds horse that we backed in this race and had an absolute fill-up on a couple of years ago?
Stockman.
Stockman, that's the one. Stockman.
He's dirty old Stockman.
He's now jumping
over the jumps.
He's now getting beat over the jumps. There you go.
Yeah, now he's become hateful.
It's a quick little road to the shithouse here in Australia if you're a stayer, that's for sure.
Especially at Nikko HQ.
Yeah. The Cozzy, we'll skip the race 5, 1,200 metres. This is for our country trained horses. Well, it's meant to be anyway. It is for the most part, but every now and then you get a couple that are a little bit...
Half raw.
Yeah. Front page, $3.90. He's won this race three times. I want to say he's won it three times.
At least twice.
And he went for the fourth or the third last year. Maybe look it up, Nico. And he was just pipped. Well, not just, but he was well beaten by a very, very good performance. Since then, you know, he's run second to Private Harry in a Galaxy. He's won at Eagle Farm. He's been a very good horse for a very long time. Yeah, he beat Opal Ridge in this race.
He ran second last year and won against Opal Ridge two back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Far too easy to put in a monster performance and beat him last year. He's $3.90 favorite from Clear Thinking, $5.50. Compelling Truth, $8. Without Parallel, $9. Gallant Star, $9.50. Look, he's got to carry the 60 kilos this year, Nico. It's no easy feat, but what he does do is absolutely fly fresh. His first up form, 11 starts, 5 wins, 3 second placings and a third. His main danger might be Clear Thinking, who's going to be out the back from barrier 13, only gets in with 53.5 kilos, but does have some good ratings to boot. Oh, it's an interesting race. Could you have a bet in it?
Yeah, well, I sort of like two horses in this race. I do like Clear Thinking as a horse, but I think from barrier 13, it's sort of going to be a bit of a sort of sticky sort of race. Got respect for sort of Gallant Star. Compelling Truth's been up a little while, so I was sort of more than happy to oppose it. I sort of thought that without Parallel was the bet to have in the race. $9, no weight, Matty Dunn, smart sort of progressive horse with some fitness on its side. It's the horse that I want to be with no weight on its back. It's going to be in a prominent position in the race, sort of just behind the speed. And I think it'll give a good sight. And then, yeah, obviously sort of Save on Front Page. He's been an old marvel. He'll be hard enough to beat, but with 60 kilos, he doesn't need too much to go wrong, and it's going to be a fair task with a lot of these horses getting sort of significant weight off him. So I sort of wanted to be without Parallel on top with a Saver on Front Page. I reckon you might sort of even see something with a four in front of it at sort of some point. So that's sort of the way that I wanted to play the race.
How's Clear Thinking in this race? It's by Dubawi out of Group 1 winning Sweet Idea in the Battlers race to Kosciuszko.
It's trained.
Yeah, it's where they're trained.
That's
to do where they're trained, not anything else.
That's, yeah, anyway.
He's won this race. He's won this race twice, for those wondering, 2022 and 2023. Yeah. He went for the treble last year. Look, when he was around that $3, $3.50 mark, I was sort of thinking, because he opened $3 and I was thinking, oh, that's too short. But if he gets to $4.50, $5 front page, like all of a sudden, I've probably got him on top. He's going to be leading this race. I don't think there's a horse of the class of Far Too Easy in this race. There's definitely not a horse of the class of even a Private Harry, who he ran second to in a Galaxy. Look, he's another year older. He's now a 9-year-old. But gee, if he keeps drifting, he's probably going to have to be on side for me. I don't mind.
I think he will.
Yeah, I don't mind your take on without.
I think they'll back without Parallel and Gallant Star.
Yeah, yeah. I think Gallant Star would probably be my second pick. Without Parallel, I don't mind your thought process there. But Front Page is going to look the winner at some stage, and you're going to get a good run for your money. So he's an old marvel, and good luck to the connections. I know one of the guys in the ownership, and I've met some of the Jureya boys, and they're good fellas. So good luck, boys. Race 6, Sydney Stakes. Group three, 1,200 metres. It's worth $2 million. That's what I was getting stuck in my head. Generosity into $3.20 favourite now from Astraka, $7. Gold Mile, $8.50. With Your Blessing, $12. And Cabalus, $13. Generosity is going to be one of my better bets of the day. I think Waller might have just put a little bit of his magic touch on this horse. She's been excellent so far this preparation. First up, she was a very unlucky runner in the Concord, and then she went to the shorts. She ran third behind Jolly Star and Briasa. They're probably deservedly fighting out second, third favoritism in an Everest. Barrier 12 is a little bit sticky, but it is 12 of 16. It's a big field here. I think J-Mac will be able to find that three wide cover line at some stage. And her last start rating is just shapes up really good against these at weight for age. So Generosity, third up, peaks on grand final day. This has always been the plan, and she's a good bet. I think Astraka, he was caught four wide in that very race last time, and he's got to be the improver. The market has found him. I think he opened sort of $8. Now he's into $7. They're probably the two. Golden Mile can run a race. We saw that last preparation when Jolly Star only just got over him in the Kingsford Smith Cup. But I'm Generosity on top, and I'm pretty keen. But Astraka will get closer to her this time. Nico?
It wasn't really a race that I wanted to have a real bet in at this point in time. I can't get sort of the Generosity from Perth sort of out of my head. Like, I know everyone's sort of hitching their wagon to her, but like, she was unlucky first up, probably should have finished closer. Don't buy that she should have won. And then, like, she was okay last start. I know this is probably easier, but I don't know.
It's not like she's $2.
It's not really a race that I want to. I know, but she's sort of $3, and I'm sort of a bit suspect on her, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a yuck race. Like, I would love to back Rotspire, but
you can't.
Barrier 16's not great. Robbie Heathcote keeps saying that he's going well, but needs a bit of cut in the track. It'll be probably nearly a good three by this point in time. It's just not a race that I really want to get involved in, to be honest.
Yeah, with your blessings, another interesting horse coming back from 1400. Golden Mole.
Strikers a tease, disc neck.
Golden Mole gets a good map. Was very good first up. Oh, actually, it wasn't first up, but it was good last preparation. But look, yeah, I'm a good
not
bet.
Exactly a 1200 meter horse either.
I'm a good bet, Generosity, and a saver on a Striker. And I'm
just save your powder for the next race.
Yeah. Well, the next race, it is the world's richest race on turf, the $20 million Everest. Now a Group 1, 1,200 metres. Ka Ying Rising, Hong Kong's champion, $1.80. And favourite from Jolly Star, $8. War Machine. Well, gee, I thought I was smart earlier in the week saying, oh, this is your roughie in the race. This is your roughie.
I'm so flat.
This is your roughie at $26 who can run an absolute race. It's now $12 and third favourite. So thanks, guys. Jimmy Star $13. Briasa is now $16. Big price. Lady Shenandoah $16. Tempted $17. Angel Capital $26. Let us start with the map. I think the chances of Ka Ying Rising were only further enhanced on Tuesday night when he drew Barrier 7. Marzu has been leading at good tempos. I think he might find the front here from Barrier 2. The other speed horse is Overpass, who comes across from 9. I think Zach has a decision to make early. He'll probably beat them all out of the machine, but I don't think he wants to lead. I think he'll want to let Marzu go, and he just has to make a decision whether he wants to sit outside lead or if he wants Overpass to cross him and find that 1-1 position. But either way, I think our favourite map's really nicely here, Nico.
Yeah, I think he sort of maps a treat. I sort of wasn't sort of too worried about where he drew, but I wanted sort of between 4 and 7, and 7's just perfect because it gives him sort of all options. I don't know if he'll sort of go up outside of Marzu. I reckon they might let Overpass go and just sit just in behind him. He'll be in the perfect spot. Jimmy Starr's probably a decent enough barrier for him. He's going to get back and wants to get to the middle anyway.
He's just going to get too far back.
Well, I don't think it'll matter. I think they'll all be sort of too far back staring at Kaying's ass, to be honest. But the chat that if Jimmy Starr drew a better gate, that he could be more forward, sort of another three lengths closer than what he will be on Saturday in this sort of race shape, I sort of don't necessarily agree with. Lady Shenandoah and Jolly Star, aren't really horses that are sort of positive and can hold a sort of spot. I'm with you with War Machine. I think he was the best roughie in the race. He's a horse that can sort of hold a bit of a position. I thought he was sort of a top five sort of lock. And that was another player that I was going to suggest to people if you didn't want to take Kaying as a single. I think Kaying to win and War Machine sort of top five in a same race multi is a good play. But, sort of everyone's found that now and the cat's out the bag a little bit. But, it's going to be interesting to see what Briasa does, whether they sort of chance their arm and sort of go forward. I think Zach will be sort of 1-1. So do Briasa and that just concede and go back, or do they have a look and try and slot in maybe behind Zach and try and card up into the race? Because Zach's not going to sort of roll down and give the 1-1 and be sort of in the mud a little bit.
I think the camp...
I think they sort of have to be somewhat forward, because if they go right back... There you go.
They're just not a camp who send them forward from wide barriers, the Hawks team. Like, I reckon there's a fair chance he's three wide regardless.
Well, if they go back and they're back with Jimmy Starr and Jolly Starr and Lady Shenandoah, well, he's not lengths better than those horses to sort of out-sprint them. They showed that last time that Jimmy Starr was sort of too far off him and was coming home like a freight train. So if he doesn't have some sort of tactical position on those horses, if something was to go wrong with Kaying, well, I don't think he's going to sort of out-sprint him. Whichever way you sort of cut the race up, I think it's perfect for Kaying Rising. If the Kaying Rising that we've seen before shows up, I think it's a fait accompli. I'm not sort of worried about the trial. I'm not sort of worried about Zach's sort of commentary around Kaying. He's a bit of a pessimist at the best of times. It's sort of in his makeup with sort of what he does, riding a lot of fancied horses in the market in Hong Kong. If you've listened to enough of his interviews, that's something that's sort of in his repertoire. David is confident that, you know, the trial did its job. He had a good look around. He's got the weight off. As long as he handles himself well on Saturday, which is going to help with the sort of cooler weather out the back with the special treatment like all superstars deserve. I hope we see somewhere near his best, because somewhere near his best is probably four or so lengths better than this lot, I think. And I would love to see him just belt them, break the track record, but I'm not going to get greedy. I just want to see him somewhere near his best and hopefully he wins. And it's going to be very fascinating to see what price he starts on the tote. So if you're if you're against him,
just wait.
I suggest you wait, because you're going to get fairly enhanced prices on the tote. Like Treasure of the Moment started $1.25 last week on the Whirlpool. There's every chance that he's going to start sort of a lot shorter. And I suggest if you're going to go to Randwick on Saturday, take some cash with you. I wouldn't be surprised if the on-course bookmakers, if they've got any spine about them, they'd have to offer you close to $2, because they shouldn't have any liability. And their only chance to sort of make a quid in this race is to be sort of against Kaye. And you should see somewhere near black figures, I would suggest. So, cracking race. Can't wait for it. Just hope the chant steps up like I think he will. And we're one step closer to dreamland.
Yeah. It's a good point you bring up about Kaye Rising being stabled out the back. So he got a little bit warm and a little bit fizzy in the before his trial, that big trial the other week, last week. Did start to sweat up, and he was really agitated in the stalls.
Yeah, well, David sort of, that was why he was keen to take him to Randwick, because he forecasted that was going to be what he was going to do sort of first time in a new environment. So he sort of thinks he'll be a bit more used to it come Saturday. That was sort of one of the main reasons he wanted to take him to Randwick for that trial.
So he won't be stabled around the other horses, which is potentially a little bit of an unfair advantage. But as Nico says, champions get champion treatment. He is still going to be paraded.
Winks used to get it, so it's not like he's just getting special treatment as an overseas horse. Yeah. She used to get it. So
he is going to be paraded in front of the public when he first arrives on course. Obviously, Channel 7 and Race New South Wales media will be there and getting all vision of him. So, and then he'll go away until he comes out into the pre-parade ring, I'm pretty sure. Look, I have got him marked $1.90. I think it's optimistic to have him running to his absolute best in terms of his Hong Kong ratings. I think in terms of weight for age ratings, Form King, whatever you want to use, I think he'll run to that 106, 107 mark. And if he runs to 106, he's a very, very likely winner, but he's not unbeatable. And that's why I've got him marked around that price. I think horses like Jolly Star, Jimmy Star can potentially get to that. War Machine even. Briasa and Jimmy Star are the two that, of the favourites, not the favourites, but of those in the market, they map very awkwardly. They're going to be either wide or back. I think it's a good draw for War Machine. It's a great draw for Jolly Star in five. She'll be midfield off the rail. It's a good draw for Lady Shenandoah in six. So I think they're the only chances in the race. I don't think Tempton's form is good enough. I can't see her spiking enough to win this off that Golden Rose. As I said, I think you're going to need to run 106 plus. I don't think she can. And Angel Capital, he's drawn in barrier three. He doesn't have much gate speed. So I think he's going to be back and buried on the rails as well. Look, hopefully Kaying Rising shows up and does his thing, and it's a sit and cheer. But I've got a feeling it might not quite look as easy as that as we approach the 300.
I've priced the race. I think he's a $1.90 chance. I think that the two, I think the rating that Jolly Star ran last time is a world class number. Yep. Like that is a figure that you know, would stand up anywhere in the world. I mean, we have the best sprinter, so obviously, but
she's a deserving second favorite. She's the only other one I've got marked single figure.
She's shit scary. Angel Capital's the other one I think could just like completely explode. I mean, I think you're going to get 40-1 for him, and he's like, I think he's third pick. He could just completely just go through the roof. I mean, I completely agree with you, Ben. I think they're going to have, if you're going to beat Kaying Rising, you're going to have to run 106. And I think I can't see Briasa running 106. I think Jimmy Star are not over 12 and Map Sticky. Like it'd have to be a complete pace melt. Yeah, I mean, I think War Machine's a bit short now. He was in the wider lanes and Flemington. He won really well, but
he just maps well. That's why.
You'll get $26 in the world pool, and then maybe you can have something small on.
I just think Angel Capital is just
don't talk into existence, please. Bob.
Scary, but for all of your sakes and for Saturday night's sake, I hope Kaying Rising wins and he wins it well. Yeah, he's super exciting. He's great for racing, and I hope he wins by three lengths.
All right, there you have it. There's our Everest wrap. It was extensive, but yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Oh, I think a fast run race really helps Kaying Rising rather than hinders with Marzu and Overpass. Hopefully, going a good clip because as we've said in the past, he's not really a turn of foot horse, but he can sustain a really really high cruising speed and dominate his rivals from the front. Nico Silver,
what price are you, Jolly Star, Ben?
I think I was around $9, $8.
Yeah, okay. I'm like seven.
Yeah,
seven.
I was around market price for her.
All I want, if Kaying wins, I just want some respect put on his name because there's a few people out there that need to wash their mouth out. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Receipts. Yeah. Let's go.
Nico, are you happy to skip the Silver Eagle? We're just going.
Yeah, it's a funny race. Everything's going to be all about linebacker after the trial. Sabaj is pretty short.
They put up 550 for Sabaj at Caulfield on Wednesday and he's 650 in the Silver Eagle.
Yeah, well, they were always sort of scratching, apparently. I know they didn't get a run, but they were always scratching and coming up here. They reckon he's a miler and he's got a nom in the race in Perth. He might be going for a railway.
Yeah, right. Well, they put up 550 on Wednesday, and now he's 650 into Silver Eagle. That's just mental.
The best roughie in this race is Snow in May. She hasn't drawn a gate. Her form's well good enough to be competitive in a race like this, but it wasn't sort of. She's won for your quaddy or your exotics, but wasn't a race that I gave a hell of a lot of time to.
Yeah. Let's move on to the King Charles in race 9. 1600 meter group 1 weight for age. Fangirl, $3.90 favorite from Pride of Jenny, $4.60. Mr. Brightside, $6. Lake Forest, $7.50. Pericles, $10. Chaewolf, $11. Within the Law, $23. Royal Patronage 26 and Tom Kitten has ballooned out to as big as $31. Well, we know the speed map every time Pride Jenny runs in a race. The question is now, how fast will she go? She didn't go quite as fast as she went usually last time at the Valley, and she sort of added a new string to her bow in some respects. But what we have figured out from that race since is that Treasure of the Moment is not going as well as what she was after that bout of colic. So maybe you can – look, it was still a very good win, but you can temper it a little bit. Nico, you do want to be with Jenny on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I think she's the starting point in the race. Well, the key to it is going to be Royal Patronage. If Royal Patronage decides to want to carve her up, that's going to be sort of the makeup of the race. If he sort of pressures her enough in that sort of first 400 metres and she doesn't get to sort of leisurely get comfortable before she races the way she races, well, then I think she's vulnerable. But, the horse I really want to take on out of this race is Fangirl. It's quite proven that races that Jenny's in has not been to her benefit. Jenny's sort of really taken away sort of her biggest asset. I might have missed the bright side a little bit wrong. I thought there was danger signs definitely at the start of the preparation, and you ride off a champion at your own peril. Albeit, I still think last time was a bit of a non-event. He's trialled up well in the lead-up to this. He's probably going to come across from the wide gate, be in a good position. It's probably going to be a good three at this point in time. That's probably my sort of only knock on him. He goes better with a little bit more give in the ground. But I think he's definitely a danger to Jenny if she's not right, which I think she's probably got to improve off her first up rating. She's never really been a first up horse. I think she'll take good benefit out of that. If she gets the race run to suit on her terms, she's going to be awfully hard to beat. And I think the other horse that I sort of want to be with is Lake Forest. Haggart's horse, I know he's not first up, but his form is very good and gets the services of Zach Purton. He's just got to be well away. He can be a bit slow. That's probably going to be his knock. If he sort of is slow away and out the back, well, that's going to make his job a hell of a lot harder. Sort of wanted to be with sort of Jenny and Lake Forest, depending on what price Mr. Brightside gets to. You could possibly chime into sort of all three. I think Jenny should be favourite, just based off, I think she's going to lead and dictate and give a good sight. The horse that, if you've been a, I think the horse is a myth and I couldn't possibly be with him with Stolen Money, but if you've been a Cheerwolf believer, you shouldn't fall off now, because it's been well seen that his best races are races where there's speed, and Jenny is speed. So she's going to inject the right amount of pace into the race. But if you've been on him and he's ever going to get anywhere near his old form, you'd probably want to see something on Saturday. So I personally couldn't be with him, but he's going to get the right setup to run well if there's any life left in him.
Yep.
That's really.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. I think whenever Pride of Jenny is in a race, it can throw up some weird results. And that's why I'm sort of willing to take on some of those at the favourite end of the market. I don't know if we've seen a recent trend with Pride of Jenny, but last couple of preparations, she hasn't really been stringing two in a row together. Last prep she won, and then they got close enough to her at her next start, and they beat her. Then she won third up with no pressure, and then there was high pressure fourth up. And what I mean by high pressure is horses sitting right on her coattails. I don't think they're just going to let her get away with murder here. Fangirl's going to get a long way back from barrier 11. That's a negative. She's a really good turn of foot horse on a dry track, but as Nico alluded to, fast tempo can take that turn of foot away from her. So I'm willing to take on Pride of Jenny and Fangirl to a certain extent. Lake Forest, I have a small query on running a strong 1,600 metres on a fast tempo. I know he won a Golden Eagle 1,500 metres. That's as far as he's gone up and tripped win. But he did have a bit of a PR that day, just getting that suck rails run. So I'm backing a few at big odds. I've backed all in. I've backed Mr. Brightside at $7. He'll run an honest race. He always does. He'll roll forward from that gate. I think he's a huge chance. I've backed Pericles each way. I managed to get some $26 after he ran third in the Epsom. I think he's some chance. Maybe a fast tempo finds him out. I've also backed Royal Patronage and Tom Kitten at big prices as well, $26 plus. Royal Patronage is a tough on speeder. He carried 61 kilos last time. He'll only improve. And Tom Kitten, look, maybe he's going like a busted, but I'm willing to forgive somewhat and just find out one more time, given he's 30-1 and we know his class. Trey Wolf is such an interesting horse because, as Nico said, he wants a fast tempo. He finally gets it here. But is he going well enough to be winning a race like this? I'm not sure where I've landed on him. If I get $15 for him, then potentially he becomes a bet just because this is his favorite setup. He won an Epsom, then he won a King Charles in such dominant fashion last year off a fast tempo. But I just don't know if he's the same horse as he was.
He'll have, I think he'll easily get that on the Whirlpool.
Yeah.
I was listening to someone during the week and they were sort of just saying, isn't it funny how trainers like to sort of be conservative and sort of say, you know, we'll sort of side on the side of caution and do that next year? Like, Jay Wolf should have gone to a Cox Plate last year in the form that he was in. When Joe Pride said, you know, we'll go to the Cox Plate next year, obviously that's not going to eventuate. But, like, just look at the horse and how off his form from last preparation he is. That's why you should always sort of,
I don't know, strike while the iron's hot. Like, make hay while the sun shines. Even,
yeah, well, you couldn't possibly think about a Cox Plate the way that he's going now. No. Like, yeah, it's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Will, any thoughts?
So Pride of Jenny rolls forward. Yeah, Pride of Jenny rolls forward. Royal Patronage
really?
Follows
sure?
it. Royal Patronage will pass the Jenny. It should be gone at the 200 metres, the 400 metres, sorry. Lake Forest, who knows? Fangirl gets back a long way and doesn't like fast on races. Mr. Brightside just sits there and wins.
Mr. Botside.
That $6 is a gift.
Mr. Botside, proud owner. Here he is. You beauty.
Kaiying Rising and Mr. Brightside win. Jesus Christ, I think I'll die.
Mate.
You're getting your Mr. B tattoo on your neck.
Oh, mate, I'm getting one. I'm already getting one.
Stu, there you go.
On my ass or There's something. Not from fucking Stu.
Gee, the Hayes boys must absolutely hate you.
Probably.
Especially when he tries to give them advice.
I'm joking, brother. I'm joking. We love you. All right. That's punting wrapped up. Anything Friday, Sunday? Or can we get into our podcast that never wins?
Yeah, well, it's only two legs now because all the punters have spoken and Bot's being banned. So.
Yeah, right. I'm banned. You guys sort it out.
Are we serious about that? Well, our tip's still lost last week.
I don't care.
We can take a three leg option and a two leg option, and the punters can decide what they want to do.
How about Will? Tell me what your best bet is, and I'll decide for the punters.
I don't even know.
We even had a place bet last week, and that still went up the shit.
What did I do last week,
Mr. Verse?
Oh, it was so on
pace. You tipped that thing in the first.
Yeah.
You tipped the back marker in the first race at Caulfield.
I'll make it Tentris. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
Tentris is a good one. Nico?
I'll go Apocalyptic.
Oh, I've only got one option.
Mate, if you don't make it Car Ying Rising, you're a disgrace.
Car Ying Rising. It's Car Ying Rising. Of course it is. All right. I don't want to say it.
I like that.
I don't want to say it, but that has some chance. It has some chance. It's not beaten already. Tentris Apocalyptic, Kaying Rising. All right, take it to the bank.
And that's perfect because Bot's first, so then if it goes up the shit, so you can just go again. Yeah.
All right, let's get to a couple of questions. Nick McGolder, fan page, how emotional will Yale be if Kaying loses? Very.
Last time I cried on Bot's shoulders. When Mr. B lost the Cox Plate. So it's Ben's turn, I think.
I'm pretty sure you cried on my shoulder when Nature Strip got rolled in the
Nature
Everest.
Strip? Yeah, which time? 1, 2, 6, or 7?
Nature Strip out.
There was enough times.
Yeah. What about Giga Kick, the horse who beat Nature Strip, just coming out? And that was awesome last week, though. It was good to see him back.
Well, Oh, 100%. And it was probably half a miss by us, to be honest. Like, Zara jumped off Tropicus onto Giga. It was the easiest race that he's raced in for some time, and he was fucking $8.
I just don't love that he got beat in Adelaide. I know he had excuses and got a fight like a long way back, but I was just like, he still got beat by Reserve Bank. I just had that in the back of my mind. Joseph Curley, yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, will the Shartin Shishov live up to the hype? This is what Joey's been calling Kane Rising.
See, this is exactly what I mean. Put some respect on the name.
I think he's joking, but hopefully he does. Nick Zaccardelli.
I mean, I'm sure Sursov's won around the 955. Even Asura couldn't win one. She's winning Group 1s in Europe.
Yeah, I don't think Kane Rising would... I don't think he'd win a 955 benchmark 84 at the Valley. He'd probably wobble around the turn and get beat, run into backside.
I'd say so.
Zaka, yep. who you are currently... at his house, Nico. So thanks for hosting, Nico. Nick. Both Nick without a K, by the way. Is there any truth to the rumour? Nico didn't travel well, not eating his feed, over-raced heavily at the trial today.
There's probably a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Well, he's sunburnt as fuck, so...
That was from Melbourne yesterday. It was hot yesterday in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite warm.
Boom Punting, is Bot dead or just cast this spring?
Dead.
Bit of both.
I'm going to say this podcast has been the resurrection of the Botter. You've been good today. You've been shitty us last month, but you've been good today.
It's gone for long enough.
Yeah.
I've been in the hosting chair.
It's gone for long, but...
He's risen.
Yeah. AC995, if Prime Nature Strip replaced Kaying Rising in the Everest field, what price? Longer or shorter than Kaying Rising? This is a good question.
Well, you just probably shorter just because we know, like, we can. I mean, I reckon
Prime NS would be sort of like.
I reckon it'd be similar price.
$3.
Nah.
Yeah, probably the same price, but maybe shorter just because, like, he's an Australian horse and, like, there's no worry about travel.
This would be a great race for Prime NS because there's no annoyance. Like, he'd be faster than Overpass.
There's no Eduardo.
He'd be faster than Marzu, but that's why I reckon he'd probably be still... Kaying would get the perfect bunny. I think Kaying would probably be maybe sort of 210, 220, and maybe NS.
No. He's saying if Kaying wasn't in this race.
Instead of Kaying.
Yeah, if he replaced him.
Oh, instead...
It'd be $2.
Well, yeah, NS would be, even money.
Yeah. Joseph Curley, Rosalian or Field of Gold, Calandigan or the Judmont form? Yeah, we didn't touch on the Ascot tips.
That's a tomorrow night problem or Saturday night.
Well,
problem.
We had someone ask about these tips for last week. If the real Field of Gold shows up, he just wins, doesn't he, Pot?
Our man, the blogger, he was keen on Field of Gold.
Our man.
soon to be our man.
Yeah, we've got a fair way to go before we start calling him our man. But yeah, Field of Gold, I reckon wins in Calandigan. I'm going to go Calandigan, Field of Gold.
It's just the merry-go-round. Those Europeans, hateful bunch.
Hefty Hog, what is your best chance early in the day?
Hefty Hog.
Have you seen this Twitter account? He's a good man. Gets around us. What's your best chance early in the day on the weekend to start the day with a bang? It's got to be Sam Hawkins, doesn't it, Nico?
Yeah.
Race 2, Randwick, Sam Hawkins, and then Tentris is race 4 at Caulfield. Aussie Silver Fox, surely the Kaying Rising drama is one of the greatest orchestrated advertisement campaigns in racing history. Social media rumours...
It's been pretty good.
...and influences used to perfection as all eyes are on Randwick now. It's interesting because we've obviously had that, that fake Ray Thomas or whatever account that's been circulating some... stuff online, but I don't know if any of this was orchestrated by, like, some people are saying it's bookmakers trying to get a better price. Who knows at the end of the day, but
there's an investigation that'll happen and they'll hopefully find out whoever it was.
It's interesting. I think it's been great for the sport. Like, it's really
well, yes and no. Like, I don't think it's great that you've got someone like Manfred Mann ringing from Hong Kong in a panic saying, what the hell is going on? Our phones are blowing up.
Yeah, and there's Hong probably Kong, two ways to
you
look
know,
at it.
They're a bit like Vegas in American sport. When they make the call, they sort of run the roost. So they've sort of said, what's going on? Who started this? Where's it come from? If they're sort of, you know, swinging their hand,
yep,
probably something's going to be done about it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, it's been crazy. First day Bali, I was at this beach club and all that news sort of dropped and I was on my phone like, what the hell's going on? Trying to enjoy my time here and I just couldn't.
Well, the thing is, usually when you see those Betfair markets happen in Europe and stuff, when it's
they're usually spot on.
The favourites on the drift and it's the stablemate that's been hammered, it's usually spot on.
Yeah. Clark Griswold, will Mr. B win from a wide gate? Yeah, he's still got a chance. Yes. Don't worry about the wide gate. He'll just roll forward. Ryan Patton, after Vauban wants flops again this weekend, what races can we look forward to seeing him target over the jumps next season?
Well, I did say that he would win a Gallywood.
If he stayed, like, he just needs to stay, right. He would be an all-time jumper. But, yeah, we'll see. Chris DeCastro, where's the celebration party occurring for Cain Rising on Saturday night? Great question. Do we have the oak booked in or the sheaf?
We're not counting our chickens. We're not counting our chickens. All you blokes are wearing your Kaying socks. That's enough of a fucking deterrent for
Yeah,
me.
But at least you can hide the socks.
No, it's still... I got bad juju because last time I wore a bit of horse...
You wore a nature strip tie. Clothing, so did I.
It was nearly tightened around my neck.
I think on the walk home back to the apartment from Randwick, Nico just tossed in the bush somewhere.
I tried.
Are we going the sheaf or the oak, Nico? I forgot which one we're going. The oak.
I don't know. I'll have to have a look.
All right.
Speaking about nature strip, how about that? He got a time penalty the other day and he showed up
for
going too slow. So the world's fastest horse is now going too slow.
Oh, it's good. It's good gear. Racing enough. Where's kick-ons in Sydney after Carking Rising Day? Yeah, it'll definitely be in Double Bay. Brad Cox, has Betfair lost some of its edge with the increasing of commissions? 10% on New South Wales racing seems quite a rort. This is a great point. I would say potentially yes. Like 10% is a lot. Betfair is a great product. It's fantastic. I love the fact that we have the exchange here in Australia. You can lay horses, which really, you know, like stimulates the market. You don't have... Like in Hong Kong, they've only got a tote pool and these favourites just start way too short. You've seen what's happened on the world pool totes. The fact that we have Betfair, they're proper markets and there's resistance the other way against some of these favourites. The only thing I don't like is the Betfair crew that quote the prices exactly as they are, saying, you know, we were 20% better odds than the corporates when, in essence, you're not fellas because there's a commission to come off that. I don't know if anyone has anything to add to that.
No, I sort of agree.
Just a couple of Instagram questions now. Quickly, Jack Jenkins, how many beers after Kaying Rising kills them by 3? 30?
Lots.
10 beers for every length. Jack Carter, I think all of us are hoping Bot is sick and doesn't have a pick for the podcast multi. Bit of fan feedback.
Whack.
Luke McGrath, how do you separate real stable mail from the usual race day rumours?
Well,
ignore all of it.
A lot of smarter people will tell you to ignore it all.
I think the only way to properly find out is by going straight to the source yourself. Like if you can, if you have a, that's easier said than done. But if you have a connection to someone that can, like you know, we know some boys who know JD Hayes. Like JD, are these rumors bullshit? Yes, they're bullshit. Like that's how you find out.
At the end of the day, like the truer the information is, the deeper you are in. But at the end of the day, there's nothing to say that there's 3 or 4 trainers in a race that all like their horse and that are all set to win. At the end of the day, you can be as confident as you like, but at the end of the day, it's still a race and anything can happen.
And there's nothing to say that Kaying Rising didn't slightly go off his feet either. The fact he has lost 20 kilos, maybe he wasn't quite eating up as well and there has been a little leak there, but that's only speculation. Damon Winley, where does the crew meet on the Sunday for Kaying Rising tattoos?
It's happening Saturday night.
Oh, this is not real, is it?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna.
All right, fair enough.
You're gonna get Stu to tattoo you.
Yeah, well, Damon just messaged Stu.
Just the initials.
Message Stu. Thomas Barry, how was Nitro's late turn of foot at Warwick Farm?
That was electric.
Did you see that horse, Ben?
No, I didn't see it yet.
think I sent it to you. I'll send it to me again.
Dave Mayfield Smith, how many secret hedges do you have on the Everest and Caulfield Cup, Benny? No, I don't.
Too many.
I don't keep any secrets from my subs. Sometimes if I take a price and it goes off straight away, then I'm not able to tip it, obviously. But we will be hedging in the Everest definitely, but we'll be waiting for the Whirlpool on Saturday. So hopefully we get some inflated prices, given Carling Rising should start shorter than $1.80, much shorter.
Not at Team Nico HQ.
Kizza Stanley, Nick needs to take off the Carling Rising glasses. I'd love to see his face when it gets beat.
Why do I need to take off the Carling Rising glasses?
Don't know. He thinks it's going
to
get
beat.
The
world's best horse who looks awfully hard to beat in the world's richest sprint race.
That's a fair point.
Fair, Nick.
All right, four more. Sosarek, what are your ratings say if Carling Rising underperforms and Jolie hits a new peak? Is he still clear? We know.
If you can forecast what happens if the ratings don't add up, and the guessing game that is a race, let us know.
What I know for sure is that if Jolie Star runs her last start rating, she can win the Everest. That's what I do know, and that's why she's the only other horse that I've got marked in single figures. If Carling Rising is two and a half lengths off his best, then he's vulnerable. If he's a length off his best in Hong Kong, he wins the race. So that might paint a little picture for you. Tom Kennedy, thoughts on Gerringong in Sydney Stakes, Manal form? Not for me. I thought it had it. Maybe they should have gone faster on it last start. I think Gerringong is a little bit better, 1,400. Roy O'Meara, for this week's Pod Multi, on behalf of Racing Previews fans, have Carling Rising there as a leg. Then have Ben's and Nico's leg with no bot. I'm actually happy with the podcast multi this week. So if I didn't go Carling Rising, I would have gone Apocalyptic. And if I didn't go either of them, I probably would have gone Private Eye. But I'm happy with Tendris. So there we go. All right, it's been a long podcast. We said we were going to do a short one, but shit happens, and it's one of the greatest weeks of the year. So, fellas, thank you very much. Will, since you hosted this, you can edit it all as well. Thanks, mate.
Just hit post.
Nah. All right, I'm pressing stop now.
Yeah, all good. Press stop.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.